Bar Humbug Mac, the weekly show from the Vapotech Network, which is all about Mac. And I've been accused of not being in a good mood today because I've had a go at Analog App and I've had a go at Lion. So Don thinks I'm a grouchy bastard. But to prove otherwise, I'm here this afternoon with a smile on my face and a yin and a yang and a huzzah because we've got the original team back. By surprise. Will Green hijacked it last night at the last minute and me Trojan warning's come back up.
Trojan?
Yeah, on your machine, yeah, mate. Well. It's your fault. Since you came on, I've been getting viruses on that machine.
Oh.
There we go. It's your fault.
Is it a PC still?
No. Good God. God forbid. Joining me, top left, Mr. Don McAllister from Screencast Online. How's it going, pal?
Good afternoon. It's glorious here in sunny Liverpool.
Mm.
It's absolutely baking. It's been baking all week, but I must admit, I've not been out very much, so I've not really benefited from it, but it's a lovely week.
It's been great. Lovely hot weather down here in England at the moment, and it's hotter than most of the days I think they've been in the summer, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And we're nearly into October.
Yeah, wife's been out in the garden, and fantastic. October tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Next to him, we've got... no, that's not Carl Swagger. And that's not Dr. Happy Mac either. I've got these the wrong way around. We'll sort that as we go. Next to him, we've got Dr. Happy Mac now.
Oh, cool.
Is it? Have I moved?
Yeah, for some reason. I've got no idea why. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. Yes, I take it that you have marked the bastard that you said earlier on your editing timeline
count.
Yeah,
but fortunately, I forgot that one.
Yeah, no, but I thought I'd add a bastard. Then you could go back and you could mark.
I could sort that bastard out.
Yeah, get that bastard sorted. I always, and then go back to the beginning.
I always like you. You're very helpful, bastard, you are.
Yeah. Cool. Bastard.
Should we start again?
You might as well. We're not even broadcasting.
Oh, no.
Have you not pressed record?
No, I haven't pressed broadcast, that's all. Never mind. Well, I've pressed it now. Next to him, it's Carl Swagger. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Down under.
How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, Philippines, all right. Have you got another hurricane come through? Or?
Yeah. We had a really bad typhoon actually come through here on Tuesday, and now we've got another one coming over the weekend. Wonderful week.
Fantastic, mate. Enjoy it. It's not better than our weather here, mate. That's for sure. We've got the deck out and lying on the hammock at night looking at the stars and harvesting grapes. And last but by no means least, the man that's been away for a while, but now he's back. Mr. Will Green, but only for this week, I think, no?
It depends how it sort of pans out, really. But can I just bring you back for a second? Harvesting grapes?
Yes, I managed to get some grapes off our vines this year, which we've had the vines for 15 years, and we've never actually got a decent crop off them particularly. But thanks to the EXIF data in iPhone 5, or iOS 5, it's turned the picture upside down. But we got our... I took the crop of grapes in this year, and it's a bumper crop, mate. Not enough for wine, I don't think, but next year is open.
EXIF,
do you normally grow them upside down?
No, that's the EXIF data in iOS 5. When iOS 5 came out, I sent them in a developer report that said, you've cocked up the EXIF data. It shows everything upside down in some of the apps. And they didn't write back. Because then they wouldn't, I suppose. And they still haven't fixed it either. So I have a lot of sway with Apple. Mm. If Don had done it, it'd have been done the next day. But no, not me.
Never.
Anyway, Will, go back to your introduction, mate. How you been?
I'm pretty good. Yes, I'm hard worked. I don't like this hard work business. It's these big companies with lots of money. That it's good in one way, but in another way, I'm a shadow of my former, more relaxed...
Yeah, you can't be going for a walk with a dog and watching him choke back a pigeon, can you?
No, I miss those days, but they'll return soon enough, I'm sure.
Before we do the week in Mac, I want to say thank you to everyone who's left reviews for us in the in iTunes. Because, I mean, I'm with Will now, definitely. I agree entirely that, you know, big reviews in iTunes mean an awful lot to our rankings in the charts and stuff. As a few of Ian Mitchell's written down that Ewan and the boys have finally made it out of the makeup truck and into one of the best video podcasts around. That's very kind, mate. Thank you very much. And also someone said, clearly the host's been in broadcasting for a long time. And before I did this, the only broadcasting I did was farting. So, no. Thank you very much, though. It's a very kind compliment. So there we go. The Week in Mac. We've had a date, fellas. next Tuesday, 4th. We will find out all. It will be revealed. And Don and I are going to be at the Wood Pub in Marylebone. Are you coming, Andrew?
I am, yes.
Will?
Yeah, well, thanks for the invite.
You got one. No, you got one, dude.
Thank you for the invite.
You got one from
when did I get it?
You got it from Steve Neighbour. He sent you an invite saying, do you want to come next Tuesday? Because we thought you were working in London and it'd be perfect for you.
Well, I am working in London.
Right, well, next Tuesday, Wood Marylebone Pub. We're going to watch the keynote live and then we're going to have a few beers and that. And then Don's going to do Matt Break Weekly from the pub, I think. And Channel 4 are coming down.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be packed, mate.
Oh, that's exciting. What time's it kick off?
Well, as soon as you can get there, really. I mean, it's the keynote's at 6, isn't it? So I'm hoping to get over for 5:30-ish.
I'm trying to lead this for you, so I'm trying to say, you know, because you didn't begin give the start time, so I was trying to do the professional thing. Oh, so what time is it going to kick off then?
I would have said that eventually. It's
go on. Yeah. So what time is it going to kick off? For like, you know.
5 p.m., there you go.
So, 5, right, there we are, 5 o'clock, great.
I don't know whether anybody will be there at 5 p.m., but there'll be beer served at 5 p.m., that's good enough, isn't it?
And that's on Tuesday?
It's on Tuesday the 4th, the day of the keynote. So, let's talk iPhone. Hello, I got to say, the rumours, I mean, Don, you said the rumours were pissing you off this morning. It's been weeks they've been pissing me off.
Yeah, it's this old 4S or 5 thing that's irritating me now. So I think we're just going to get a new phone and who cares what they call it. Let's just see what the phone's like.
And be done with it.
And be done with it, yeah. No, I think, I don't know, people are still torn between, you know, this brand new all singing, all dancing iPhone 5 with all the, you know, whistles and bells, and then this other lesser phone that they're going to use for the prepaid market. I'm still undecided.
I got to say, if I was a journalist and Apple issued me an invitation to come to a Compact and Bijou event on the Cupertino campus, and I went all that way and they said iPhone 4S, huzzah, chaps. And I'd spent $2,000 on a ticket and hotels and food and beer, I'd be pretty pissed off. There's got to be more than this.
I would think so. They're streaming it live as well to the Apple Store in Covent Garden, apparently.
Yeah, so, I think that's... British,
yeah, people.
Is it only the Apple Store, though?
I think so.
Because I was talking to a chap who I can't name, who says he's got a feed for us, and I know there's lots of hijack feeds and stuff, but he was saying that the Covent Garden one for the press, there's no way that they're going to be able to manage that to stop people from streaming out from there if they really want to. Mm. But is it a lock-in for press only?
I think it is, yes, just for press only. They're going to close the store, I think, at 4, and then rejig it for the press.
Yeah, right, yeah. Anyway, go on,
Will. I was going to say, if they're going to close the store, this is going to be a big announcement, isn't it? This is not just, what's the new iOS called? iOS 5, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not just going to be that, because we know that's coming in autumn, and we also know the features it's got. So closing the store, to me, says something big. And now, iPhone 4S isn't that big, is it? And also, you talk about the cheaper, you know, the cheapo version of the iPhone. Well, that rumor's been spinning around now for about 4 years and it's never come to fruition. So I don't reckon it's going to come to fruition this time. It's going to be iOS 5 and the most amazing iPhone 5 you've ever seen. And also, I think probably it's going to be the kickoff of iCloud too. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. What'd you say to that, McAllister?
Well, I reckon. Do you remember the last event where Apple said that you will always remember where you'll be when we announce this thing?
Oh, yes.
It's like, it's the Beatles on iTunes. And everyone went, you sods. They got on with their life. I think Apple regard the iCloud and by itself as a reason enough for the event. And I reckon iPhone 4S.
But they did iCloud last time.
No, they haven't launched it though, have they?
It's like launch, you know, it's going to happen on this date and things. I think it's going to be a massive, people are just going to stand there going, what?
So you think it's going to be a huge letdown?
Yeah, I think it'll be. I think Apple have bought into their own publicity too much. I think they've started to believe that the world cares more about whatever they have to say than the world cares.
It's about right, completely disagree.
So go on, Carl.
I think this is going to be one. They have to make this one of their biggest events they've ever done, simply for the fact that Steve Jobs is not in the driver's seat for this one. This one has got to be the one that just stretches out, goes beyond anything that we're thinking of right now, and wows not only the tech journalists, but the consumers as well, and not only the consumers as well, but also the shareholders, because everybody's kind of sitting there going, okay, you know, how's this operation going to run? How's this keynote going to go since Jobs isn't going to be doing it? I think we're going to see one heck of an event, honestly, on the 4th. And I think there's going to be more surprises than we can ever imagine right now.
So does Cousin Kyle have any insider information for us?
I don't know. I don't have any insider information this week. I wish I did so I could earn, you know, maybe 20 or 40 bucks starting next week. But no, I don't know anything about TVs. I don't know anything about if it's 5 or not. I don't know anything about that. But certain we're going to get 2 phones.
There is a suggestion that the "and one more thing" will be a television.
No.
Yeah, it's quite a strong one out there.
Yeah. The thing that surprised me was the advert, you know, the way they always put like hidden things in the advert, or people read more into the advert than they should, you know, the invitation rather. Yeah. It was so focused, so laser focused on iPhone. Because I sort of expected this to be, you know, iPhone and iCloud, but there's no mention of iCloud in the thing. There's no mention of, you know, this time of year they normally bring out the iPods, etc., for the Christmas market. Are they just going to forget them now and it's all iPhone? I don't know. I think they're sort of steering us down one line, but as Carl says, there might be some surprises in there, but they're certainly not giving anything away within the invitation.
Yeah, I mean, this is always traditionally the iPod event, isn't it? So it's usually music, home theater, yeah, iOS integrated, media display and transmission stuff. So iOS 5 is done with. And they announced iCloud in iOS 5 last time, so I can't see that they're going to do a great deal with that other than go, ta-da.
We've also heard this week that they're going to be killing 2 iPods. You know, we're going to kill the Classic, we're going to kill the Shuffle. Well, the Shuffle, to me, can go. You know, who needs 2 gigs of space anymore? What are you doing with that? Just get a Nano. But
interestingly, you say that, but last night Mike Hurley on the big show had a Shuffle as his pick because he hadn't got a thumb drive kicking around, and he got the Shuffle and just formatted it and used it as a thumb drive. So
so he paid 3 times the price just so he could have an Apple logo.
Well, to be fair, he got a bit of use out of it. It was fairly old. It was the original long stick one. It wasn't it wasn't too bad. Are we bothered about the Classic buggering off?
I am. By God, as a music fan, I'm pissed.
Well, hang on, because the Classic's got 160 gig of space, yeah, spinning media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you use it a lot.
I hacked it and yeah, I do use it because I put FLAC on it, you know, and I guess you could put Apple Lossless on it. I'm a guy that likes quality. I'm not an MP3 fan, never have been. I don't like Apple's Avance, Kodak, crap, whatever you want to call it. I like lossless compression. I want my full dynamic music. That's the way it is.
You think of the little lad out there, right? The little lad, last Christmas, had his Shuffle. And it's his first Apple.
Don't, Will. We'll have child protection on us.
And no. And he is so proud of this. And Kyle just said they should kill it because it's rubbish. And he's sitting there. He's got his prized possession in his hands, and they're shaking now, and the tears are coming down his face because he's joining the Apple community and he's listening to this podcast because now he's part of the Apple community. And Carl, you've shattered his dreams. You've shattered his life.
I just love the fact that Will started off talking about a little boy with his Shuffle, and he's gotten his pride and joy in his hand.
Yeah. Oh, no!
Oh, man. If I look beetroot, it's because I am. Oh, Greedy, welcome home.
Well, I have no idea to what you were referring to.
Well, the chat room's got every idea, mate.
I was being sincere. This poor little lad, he's got his device in his hand. And
this poor little lad's going to have to upgrade.
Oh,
I'm thinking it's almost like Oliver Twist or some sort of Victorian child. Shall I give it up here?
Yes.
Shall I give up?
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake, yes.
this Victorian child who's is got his prized possession. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, the thing is, you know, back on, you know, steering us around this.
Please don't, please.
I mean, the classic is meant for, you know, for large music collections, and I think we might see a 64 gig iPhone this time around. So that's probably going to be enough for most people. But also, you know, the big play they're going to make, one of the reasons if they did take the classic out of the way, say, look, you don't really need this local storage now because all your music's going to be in the cloud and you can stream it and stuff like that. I think they're going to make a big play about that, I think. And also, you know, how long is the spinning disc going to be around for? It must be reaching the end of its useful life. I'm not sure.
Got to be.
Yeah, so, you know, it's moving to solid state. They can't really give you a 256 gig solid state iPhone yet. It's too expensive. But 64 gig, I would think, I would really expect to see a 64 gig phone this time around and iPod Touch 3G or whatever we think is coming along.
So, Kyle, you're going to get about 5 songs on an iPhone 64 gig.
Hopefully 10.
Maybe 10.
At least it's an album.
A whole album. There you go.
Yeah.
The chat. I can't read out what's in the chat room. It's just... Oh dear, I've got a bad chest as well. Stop. Right. So there's nothing else coming apart from two iPhones, and there might be something at the end and iCloud. That's it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have something along the lines, something to do with iTunes too. Something's going to be music here. We got the cloud. We got iOS 5. We've got probably new iPod. I just really see this thing to be massive.
See, I mean, the thing is as well, the timing couldn't be more perfect and wrong in some respects, because Amazon had their big event this week and they've released the Kindle Fire, which is a ridiculous name, but a fantastically sound-looking device, it would seem.
It's not a ridiculous name if you think about it, because what are you going to Kindle?
Well, no, it's just, the irony of it all, it's just, it's too close for comfort. But it looks like it's a really good device. There's questions over whether magazines and papers are going to be very viewable on it at full resolution because it's only 7 inches. But Eric Lanigan last night said he thought that it was as close as we've ever got to an iPad killer because of the price and because of the functionality and because of the fact it comes with 10,000 applications that are probably fairly well cherry-picked to be good quality. And they've done it 1 week, well, 6 days before Apple's about to come out and supposedly shatter the earth. And unless they surpass what Amazon have done, does it not turn the Apple event into a bit of a damp squib before it's even started?
No, not really, because I mean, I don't really see them as direct competitors, the iPad and the Fire. I think there will be some crossover, but really it is, and I've said this before, the iPad is always seen as a consumption device, but it's not. It's both a consumption device and, you know, you can create material on there as well. It is a full computer. You know, you can do things that you can do with a normal computer. Okay, it's limited in some respects, but it's still... You know, it's still a true personal computer. And of course, you know, quarter one next year, we'll probably be seeing the iPad 3 as well. But let's sort of leave that for now. If you compare it to the Fire is purely a device to consume Amazon content on and some games possibly as well. You know, the form factor is completely different. It's don't forget, it's not only is it 7 inches, 16 by 9 as well. And we've yet to see, you know, how books and how, you know, magazines are going to look on a 7-inch, 16x9 screen in portrait mode. It's pretty long and thin and narrow. Great for movies, but I'm not sure about reading. So I don't really see them as a competitor, although, it will obviously have an impact on iPad sales, because those people who might have gone for an iPad just to use it as a consumption device will probably get a Fire. But I think you'll see a lot of people getting both, or people who would never, ever have bought the iPad anyway will now get the Fire as well.
See, it's funny that Don said that, because I'm seeing very soon, I don't know, maybe by Christmas or a little after Christmas, I see a drop in iPad, the price for the 16 gig version. I really see that coming down, maybe 50, 100 bucks.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Well, they can afford to.
I do.
You think they've got to respond that much?
No, I don't think it's about responding. I think it's more of just saying, all right, if you're going to go off and get the Kindle Fire, then why don't you why don't you just spend $100 more and get the iPad
for $100 more? There we go. Got title of the show.
Well, what they could do is when the iPad 3 comes out, you know, the iPad 3 is the brand new iPad, and the iPad 2 then becomes, you know, they knock $200 off it or something, and that's your entry level iPad, and you've got like a premium iPad 3 with the Retina display, etc. You know, extra memory, fast, even faster processor, quad processor.
I think we're getting it. I mean, you're into fantasy land there, mate. I think that's not going to happen next week, that's for sure.
No, not next week, but, you know, after. March, April of next year. Yeah. But don't forget, they've announced it last week, but they're not actually delivering this stuff until November. That's when the fire comes out. So they've announced it like 40 days in advance to try and deflect some sales, to get some sales before the Christmas market. Obviously, they're late to market. So,
Will, anything to add?
Well, I was going to say, but surely the big difference for me, I was a bit disappointed with the Kindle Fire because it's just another sort of iPad ripoff that's cheaper, etc. Compared to the Kindle, I've got an iPad and I've got a Kindle, and the Kindle's technology makes it different. It's a different product, and I could never see myself buying a Kindle Fire because it's only replicating what my, to a lesser extent, what my iPad can do, whereas the Kindle, traditional Kindle, is amazing because of the technology it uses, that it is like reading a book. And so if Amazon killed off the traditional Kindle, I think that would be a real shame.
Well, they're not killing off the traditional Kindle. They've gone for another Kindle. You've got basic Kindle, which is what you've got currently with the keyboard, is going to die off eventually. And when they've sold all their stock of that, I think that'll probably end. Then the next Kindle is a silvery one with no keyboard facility on it. So you won't have any kind of interaction with that. Anything that you want, you'll have to boost up to it through download and connection. Then you've got a 3G one, and you've got another one that's slightly bigger as well, and then it goes up to the Fire. So they've got a big range at the moment. There's five effective separate Kindles on sale as we speak.
But I understand what you're saying, that obviously the one I've got, which is with the keyboard and the 3G, that will eventually be killed when they sell them all, and also the one, the Wi-Fi only with the keyboard. But you can't help wondering that they'll get a sort of love this new color, flashy technology so much, and people will go for that instead of the more apparently dull traditional Kindle.
I think they're being very clever, because I thought as well when this announcement was made, you know, what are they going to do about the e-ink technology? Because people, and the big thing with the e-ink technology, as you say, is it's just like a book. You've got fantastic battery time. You know, you can read it in bright sunlight, etc. But they've been very clever, and they've actually split the Kindle range now into these three e-ink ones, and they've priced them so that there's a Kindle basically for everybody. So if you want to do the e-ink thing, you've got the as you said, you've got the keyboardless one with just some controls at the bottom to flick around. Then you've got the Kindle Touch, and that gives you not a full touch screen, but you can actually navigate around your book using touch gestures on the e-ink Kindle, and then the Kindle 3G, which is the 3G version, and then the Fire. So they've been really clever and spread out, you know, the Kindle the Kindle itself over the three devices, and then the Fire, which they're treating as completely different for people who want to get movies. I don't really think they're expecting people to actually use that primarily as a reading device. I think they're targeting it as a music and video player device for stuff that you can get from Amazon.
They're going to kill it. You know they're going to kill it. I mean, if you're in a shop, right, and you can get the regular Kindle with a touchscreen, I don't know how that reflects on the actual screen itself, because I know the Sony one was really pretty poor. Because of the touchscreen was an extra layer, and it sort of reduced the visibility of reading. But you know that the average your average consumer who goes to Tesco and they're presented with two items, one, and there's probably about 40 quid difference between the two. One is colour, and they can read their books, and they can listen to their music, and they watch their films and everything. Or they can have the other one that's just this black and white thing that you can purely read their books on. They're always going to go for this flashy colour one. And so a year down the line, they're going to kill off, I reckon, the e-ink one. And I think that'd be a great pity.
I don't think they'll kill off the new e-ink one. I think they'll kill off the old e-ink one that you've got. But I think the new silvery one, I can't see them running that for 12 months alone and then going back.
Okay, maybe 12 months, maybe it's 2 years, but it's gonna go, isn't it?
I think the market that they've cornered with that is definitely the fact that they've got people who want to read it outside or you know, want it in an environment whereby they don't want a backlit display. They want the extra battery life, long haul flight, away from home, sitting in a hotel bed or something like that, where the backlit display is going to give them issues that they can't see it outside, and it's going to give them issues over battery life.
Issues?
They're targeting people that have already bought an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the target, because iPad is not fun to read on. You can read on it. It's okay. You can browse the web. But it's not fun to read on. And the battery life, it isn't as good. And you don't have that delivery system and all of this that you can get with the I just forgot the freaking name of it, Kindle. So to get that content delivered and all that, and then have it in book form, and it looks like you're reading a book, and that people still like that experience. I mean, I personally do. I like the experience that I feel like I'm looking at a page and not a screen, particularly when I'm reading. So that's the $79 market to me. Oh, you've got an iPad. Well, this is for you. You don't enjoy the experience on your iPad. Get the cheap Kindle.
Well, that's the other negative associated with Amazon this week, is that they've taken the conversion rate and a $79 Kindle costs £89.
That's slightly different though, isn't it? Because they're a little bit misleading, because when they announce the Kindle prices, they are the prices for the ones with special offers.
Mm.
And the ones that, so when it's
subsidized.
Yeah, in effect. So when you leave it and you normally get the screensaver, they're actually adverts. And if you don't want the adverts, you have to pay an extra, I think it's $40 to get the next one up, which does include the adverts. So, but we can't get that one. We've never had the adverts on the Kindles here. So you're actually getting the premium one, plus VAT and whatever, you know. So I think that's where the main disparity has come into, because we can't get the discounted one.
The gauntlet has been laid down in the chat room, Will. Russ wants a tenner with you that they won't kill off the e-ink Kindle within a 2-year period. So by 30th of September 2013, they won't have killed off the e-ink display.
£10.
He's a bit of a cheapskate, though, I've got to say. For a 2-year bet, £10's not exactly a lot, is it?
I go for a nice bottle of claret.
It might be in 2 years.
A bottle of claret.
Yeah, a nice bottle of claret. And the here we go. Within a 2-year period, the e-ink will be killed off. Not because it's rubbish technology, and not because Amazon are trying to move people away from it. It's because the consumer in Tesco will see the colour one, which is only probably 20 or 30 quid more expensive, and they will go for that, and Amazon will just give up on the e-ink because of the popularity of the colour one.
They're always going to have the ink one. I mean, anyone who's got an iPad or a Fire, if they're serious readers, they're going to have one just to go on holiday with and take it to the beach or whatever, or just to read outside. So it's definitely going to be less important, but I don't think they're ever going to get rid of it, because you're always going to have an e-ink device, I think, at least for the next 4 or 5 years.
The only way they're going to get rid of the e-ink one is if Apple comes out with an amazing product. We call it the dual iPad that has an iPad experience on one side, then you flip it over, and then you've got an e-read on the other side.
You could glue a book to the back of it, couldn't you?
You could.
I'd do it.
You'd cover up that pretty logo, but you could.
Anyone have trouble with their Mobile Me account this morning, if they've still got it?
Yes.
All disappeared, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I noticed that 25% of users may be experiencing some difficulty with their Mobile Me account.
What's
you know, which world is 25% 100% then?
I didn't have any problem with my Mobile Me account.
Yeah, because you've moved to iCloud, I bet.
No. Still on Mobile Me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Ah, but Don's special.
Yeah, they're scared of Don.
There's only one person left standing in the world whose Mobile Me is working, and it's Don.
No.
Of which, you've got to admit, Don is 75% of the opinion.
But the rest of us, we get regularly shafted by Mobile Me. So,
but isn't that the way it's always been?
I'm going to miss it when iCloud comes along, when it's all seamless and it just works, and we never lose any data, and I don't have to spend ages wondering where are my appointments. I'm going to really miss it all.
Robert in the chat room says iPad plus Kindle plus duct tape, it could work.
Mm-hmm. Duct tape never fails.
And the chat room wants to know, Andrew, if you're lying down on the rug watching the telly with your legs in the air, because that's how you video.
I'm lying down. I've gone upstairs.
You're lying down on the bed.
He's on the bed.
I am.
You're in the boudoir.
Le boudoir.
Whatever you do, don't get your eye device out and start polishing it.
No. What's the French for boudoir, then?
Very good. What else have we got? There's actually some news this week. It's just not very good news. Steve Jobs reportedly tried to defuse the Samsung issue, apparently, in 2010. He became Boutros Ghali and tried to intervene and stop all the infighting. People, let's just calm down. I don't believe that one.
I don't either. I think it's more like The Godfather.
You weren't shocked to me.
Yeah.
You disrespect the family. And Apple has also won a court case against SciStar. There was an appeal in for the SciStar. I thought SciStar was dead and gone, I have to admit. But it would seem that they've had a recent victory. In the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Wednesday, Judge Mary Schroeder said that Apple's Mac OS X licensing agreement was indeed enforceable against SciStar, and that they could continue to enforce not putting OS X on other machines. The hack community, it would appear, then is now doing it illegally. Good, bad.
That's been a few years, the old SciStar thing.
Yeah, well, they stopped producing 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And what a sad day it was.
Takes a long time for courts to sort of sort this sort of stuff out, doesn't it? So it's not really a new story at all, is it? It's just like courts catching up to old news.
Hmm. Thanks, Will.
That's all right.
Have you brought any news with you, Will? No?
I don't want to dish your news stories. I'm just offering an opinion.
iTunes has gone live in 12 other countries. iTunes beta match was out on Monday, and Foxconn's $12 billion plan for Brazil is not going to work, apparently. There's a bit of trouble at mill, so there won't be any iPads being produced in Brazil. That's kind of the whole of the news for the week.
Who's got...
You mentioned something... Sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
I was going to say, does anybody use... if anyone was following my Twitter feed, they might have noticed some minor irateness going on with regards to British Telecom.
Go on.
In the last couple of days. Does anyone actually use their BT email address? Because it does seem that BT have engineered themselves a bit of a major Mac unfriendly fiasco.
I haven't got one, so I wouldn't be able to know.
But when you set up with Lion, when you buy your brand new spanking Mac and you plug it in and you set up your email account, you go to Apple Mail in Lion and you set it up and it automatically sets the account up for you. So you put your details in, BT, whatever it is, happymacowner@btinternet.com, and it queries the BT servers and it comes back and says, yep, them's IMAP servers. We'll call that imap.btinternet.com. Off you go. Of course, BT don't actually support IMAP. Oh. So your email doesn't work. As I found out after 4 hours on the phone to BT technical support and being transferred to an IMAP specialist whose sole role...
Why would BT have an IMAP specialist if they don't support IMAP?
Exactly. Well, his solution was to change everything back to POP. And then he pointed out that he was the IMAP specialist, but he hadn't received any IMAP training because BT don't support IMAP. And then he suggested I was mispronouncing IMAC.
I'd like that job. That's a great job.
I be the IMAP specialist, but I do not be knowing anything about IMAP.
No. So it turns out that which is really annoying because there's no easy way to stop, or in fact, no way to stop Apple Mail from creating your BT email account as an IMAP account because the mail servers identify themselves as IMAP servers. They just don't work.
Can't you go in afterwards and change it in...
Oh, you can, yeah.
References? So there's no way unless you go in afterwards and do it. I forgot about that bit.
No, but... If you change it back to a POP server, then it no longer recognizes your email address because the BT email address is your name, happynewmacowner@btinternet.com,
yeah.
which is not recognized by BT's POP servers. You have to change your email address to happynewmacowner@btopenworld.com, but they don't tell you that. So when you change it to POP, it still won't work because you're using the wrong username and there's nothing to tell you that you have to change your username to a format of username that BT themselves stopped using 3 years ago.
You need to have a chat with Gordy in the chat room because he says his IP map BT address works just fine. And Storm says he uses BT email address as a username to log on to the BT FON open zone.
Yeah, it logs on to the open zone. You can log on to the website. You can do it via the BT Yahoo web portal. It works fine there. It seems to be a bit of a mess with that old IMAP thing. I mean, I did get the IMAP connection on my clients working eventually for 10 minutes, then it stopped, then it started, then it stopped, and it's just not reliable. And BT themselves refused to talk to me after 2 hours. They said, look, we don't support IMAP, it's all POP.
Why didn't you just set up a Google account and Google and
be done with Gmail, yeah.
Yeah, because it would support.
Well, in the end, that's the problem with just when you want to move someone from Microsoft to Apple and they're using Windows Mail, it's a nightmare. So the only realistic way to do it is to have an IMAP account running so that you can just move everything over.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could set up an IMAP account with Gmail, yep, and Gmail will import all the POP stuff from the old legacy BT stuff, and it'll work brilliantly with Apple.
Yep.
You know, Kyle, you know you tweeted out this morning about calling me Lord Bagel. Did you happen to check if there was a Twitter account called Lord Bagel? You're on mute, dude. Oh.
I am.
Buster Keaton. Right. Did you check or not? Or has someone started Lord Bagel?
Well, what?
Oh, it's been started today then. King of all bagels, you are not worthy. It was zero followers, zero following.
Lord Bagel.
And there's only been 3 tweets. But I'm being accused of being an imposter on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter.
Yeah, I'll tell him to come and have a go if he thinks he's hard enough. There we go. Gordon's had an email that told him how to do it, Andrew. So if you give Gordy a tweet, he'll send you the email, I'm sure.
That would be good, because the BT IMAP specialist certainly couldn't sort it out.
The BT IMAP specialist.
Also, I found
Gordy Jackson, at Gordy Jackson on Twitter.
Cool, I shall do that then, because that's just a bloody nightmare. Because, yeah, the Google thing was obviously immediately you just say, oh, you're dealing in any way, shape or form with BT, let's switch to Google, because that's going to make everyone's life better. But then the customer, for some reason, was adamant that they liked their BT email address and they didn't want a Google mail address.
Oh, that's always the thing, isn't it?
Which is just
I've got it. I've been putting it on my Christmas card for the last 6 years. Oh.
Yes, I know. All 4 of my friends know it.
I used to teach this bloke, and every time he put his password, he said, look away, look away. No. He was mad as a hatter, he was. And I had to get off the stool and walk away, then he put his, and then come back again. I'm not interested. He reckoned he was God, actually. He was an amazing bloke. I used to teach him.
He reckoned he was God, and he asked you to look away from his password.
No, he was amazing bloke. He reckoned he was God, seriously. And I helped him set up the...
God can't remember his password.
No, he didn't want me to see his password.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, why he could erase your brain afterwards.
He smited you temporarily.
He's smiting. I forgot about smiting. Smiting was always an option.
I'll give me a second. I'll think of his name, because you can see his video on YouTube.
No, that's probably libelous. Just.
And he's sitting there in this chair. So we did it. And behind him, like, the stars are going back, and he's like in the chair sort of floating around, and he's got this script that he's...
Were you in the Apple store in Solihull?
Yeah, no, this is Exeter, this one. You don't get people like that in blooming Solihull.
Had you been eating the mushrooms that grew out the back of the store, no?
No, he was ace, actually. He was mad as a box of frogs, but he was a lovely man, and the thing is, he didn't even have an Apple computer, which was a bit tricky. But
hey! He came to you for lessons and he didn't have an Apple computer.
Well, I think what it was, I set it up for him because I liked him, and being God, I thought it would sort of, you know, you're going to hedge your bets, aren't you, a little bit. So I helped him set up his, well, I actually set up his website for him, and this, in flying through space, reading out his script for all men. I always remember though once he said, I can't remember what it was. I said, can we write this down? And he brought out this little pencil. And I said, oh, where'd you get that pencil from? He said, oh, the betting shop.
So God's a betting man.
Well, apparently so. Yeah.
Wouldn't you be?
Commander of the heavens, the earth, and the 230 at Kempton Park.
That's right.
Wouldn't the fact that you don't always win be a slight tip-off?
I was just about to say, wouldn't he always win? Wouldn't William Hill be onto him by now?
He didn't. Yeah. He was a bit skint, to be honest, but he was a lovely man. And you wait. When we all sort of shuffle off this mortal coil, he'll be there waiting for me.
I don't think he was God, Will.
Well, you got him.
I'm sorry, I don't think he was God.
Well, he got a website and everything.
What was the address?
I mean,
if it was www.god.com, then perhaps, maybe.
No, it wouldn't be com. It'd have to be .org.
I thought it would be .gov, to be honest.
Is it .gov?
.god. He hasn't got his own internet band. There we go. So that's all the listeners that are religious that have gone then.
Well, not necessarily. You might get a whole new crop now.
Bless you. And amen.
Tune in into this. I tell you what, that's what you're going to do. Bagel God or bagel religion.
No, hell no.
Go on to that.
Oh, dear Lord. No, not a chance.
Why not?
Religion's no good, mate. I don't mean that. I mean, religion's not something you should talk about.
Why not?
Because people get upset and the death threats. I just...
Grab a webpage, go to www.god.com and tell me you're not disappointed.
What, is he not there?
Go and have a look.
Is it 404?
No.
I could get that.
Oh, you're kidding me. It's GeoCities.
What a waste of a domain.
It is, isn't it? And if you go to choose a language, you can either choose English or Vietnamese, which is
English or Vietnamese.
So, narrowing their audience, isn't it?
So can you not choose language? Every language?
It's the only two you got, either English or Vietnamese. So if you're anywhere else in the world, well, you're screwed, aren't you? That's the end of that for you, God. Old chap.
Listen, if anyone's listening to this still, those are the opinions of Will Green and not the opinions of me or anyone else that appears on Bagel Tech, okay? And just for the information, I've just signed up at the suggestion of Storm. I've signed up for The Real Lord Bagel on Twitter, and I've sent Lord Bagel a message saying, my arse, it's you who's the pretender minion.
I kind of like it. I just seen it now.
I want to know. I want to know.
It's a nice likeness of you.
He's replied, apparently, how dare he, there is only one bagel, only one, only one.
Is that an afro?
I don't know what it is. It looks like a thumb with a white afro, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, all hell. We all know you're the original.
Greeny looks Lord like Bagel. He's laughing in the corner. I reckon he's Lord Bagel.
Yeah, it's not me.
Who is Lord Bagel? That's what we need to find out. I'll see if he replies to mine. I've told him he's an arse. There we go. Right. Have we got, before Chris Forsman dials in for the... is it you, Steve? Steve in the chat room, I reckon.
It looks that way.
It does, doesn't it? Right, yeah. Have we got any cool thingies? Donny boy.
Right, yeah, I'll do one. Well, this is a nice little utility that I covered in this week's Screencast Online show, actually. It's a thing called Yoink.
Is this another plug?
It's a plug, you know.
Is it subsidised? Are you getting
it's
a kickback?
It's not subsidised. I'm not getting any money for it.
Okay, need to give declarations now for all your picks.
What was the last one you were doing?
Just
it a
so you
bundle deal?
It is a membership.
A bundle deal.
I'm going to have to make a little thing that flashes up that says, this is an advertisement. This is an advertisement on the top.
No, it's an unsponsored slot in the show, so I did it out of the goodness of my own heart because I like the application, so there's no nefarious things going on here. It's a really nice application. Anyway, about the application, it's called Yoink. It's by eternalstorms.at, so you can get it over at eternalstorms.at.
I don't trust you. So you've done a screencast online about it. And now you're advertising it here.
I'm not. It's a great application.
Go on.
It's called
Yoink.
Yoink. Well, basically, what you do is when you you're in line, you're in full screen mode, and then you're in say your mail application, and you want to drag a file across into mail, but you're actually in full screen mode, so you go to another screen, and then you're out of full screen mode. Well, this enables you to in the Finder or anywhere basically. If you start to drag a file in the Finder, what happens is a little shelf pops out from the side either left or the right-hand side or underneath the cursor that you can actually drop a file onto. It's like if you've used Pathfinder, you know, the shelf in Pathfinder, which is really useful. We can drop files and create a stack of files. Well, it's like that, but without Pathfinder. So it's a little shelf that pops out. You drop your file onto there, go back to full screen mode, and the shelf is still visible, and then you can just drag the file off the shelf and drop it in your email. So it's a really nice sort of temporary storage area for files. You can do things like Quick Look there as well. So you can have a look at files that are in your Yoink shelf. And it's just a really neat little utility. It's only, what is it, £2? Well, $2.99 or €2.39. I'm not sure how much it is in great British pounds, but it's fairly cheap, and it just fills a little niche that I think is really useful.
Very good.
Have you got Screencast's coupon code for it?
No.
I think that was a dig.
I know.
Well, yeah. I haven't. Don't rise.
He didn't.
Don't rise to the mate. Swags, what you got for us, man?
I've got kind of an obvious one this week, and I've been very, very diehard of Chrome for quite a while, and I've completely given up on Firefox. I thought they were just literally a piece of crap. Firefox 7 came out today. It's pretty good. It's a lot faster. It's amazing what you miss when you kind of go back to it. You miss the sort of the address bar when you want to go in and not make it be a search. You actually just want to type in an address. One thing that always annoyed me about Chrome is that every time I would try to do a search using the bar up top, well, my default would always go back to Google Philippines. So everything would be in the local language here, Tagalog, which annoyed me. You'd always have to click back and .com. So that's one thing that would always really annoy me. But I don't know. Firefox, it's faster. It's a lot faster, actually. And it just might turn me back around. I know it's obvious. You know, it's too an obvious pick because it just came out. But if you abandon it, go have a try again because you will be pleasantly surprised.
Better than Chrome?
Equal with Chrome. Equal. I won't say better yet. I'll say equal with Chrome, particularly in terms of speed.
Okay, jolly good. Andrew, what have you got for us?
I got a little app. Obviously, we got my first pick, www.god.com, out of the way earlier. But it's called One Keyboard. It's a small app, and it installs itself as a menu bar thing at the top there. And what it does is it allows you to just quickly click with one click and start using the keyboard of your desktop Mac or your iMac or your laptop as the Bluetooth keyboard for your iPhone or your iPad.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. No longer do you need to buy a Bluetooth keyboard because you got one with your Mac. You just go click and select on the menu thing, select iPad and keep typing, and it starts typing up on your iPad.
Have you got a URL for that, mate?
It is a little developer called Ale Wiener, which he's an Israeli guy, and that's the email address, www.eyalw.com.
Yeah, no one's going to steal that address, are they?
No, it's not. It doesn't trip off the tongue, does it?
No.
www.eyalw.com.
Ale Wiener.
Is he charging for it? Are we going to have to send him a donation?
No, freebie.
No, send him a donation. Has he got a donation?
Haven't found a donation on there.
Very good.
So.
Pick.
Oh, right. It's a pull down thing in your top bar.
Yes.
Oh, superb. Like that. And it tells you where you're typing as well. Brilliant. We like that. That's excellent. That's my pick of the week as well. Will, have you got anything, mate, or not?
Pagan calendar.
Here we go.
I don't know why you're laughing. Pagan calendar. Well, I'm very into all this business.
Really?
Yeah, and the nice thing about pagan calendar, it doesn't just bring in sort of the pagan stuff. It also brings in the Roman stuff as well. So today is the goddess of health and wine, On this day, the new wine was mixed with the old and served for the first time during the year.
You're making that up.
I'm not.
It's the start of Ivy Celtic Tree Month.
Is it?
Yeah, that's all it says that's going on today.
Oh, well, yeah. According to this one, it's the time you mix old wine with new wine. That's what it says. Don't blame me if it's wrong.
No, apparently not.
It's the end of Brown Bear Month.
And it sends you to a whole load of Dutchy Celtic tree lore. L-O-R-E. Not listen, L-O-W.
But. I'm going to have to go for just a couple of minutes because I've got my bloke at the door who's got my replacement barrels for my broken down camper van. Is that okay?
Got his iPod shuffles, what he's got.
He's going off for a shuffle. Jolly good. My pick of the week is Tiger Woods PGA Golf
12. Oh, bloody hell.
Love it.
I've been away, what now, for a month or two, and I would have thought by now ranking, you'd have improved your pick of the week.
Oh, get stuffed, you arse.
Tiger Woods.
Haven't you got some barrels to go and get?
No, I want to hear you. Is that it? Tiger Woods Golf, and that's it?
Yeah, Tiger Woods Golf 12, because it's free. It's from EA Sports. It's free. Now, it's got a bit of a kind of a hitch to it. It's the you have to buy extra points if you want to get faster, but you can still win tournaments and things. So you can still get the great game and still go through it all slowly if you want. But if you want to boost your economy, it costs you $179 for $50,000 or something like that. But it's a great little game. It's very playable. If you read my review of Real Golf, which is anything but real, then this is significantly better, an awful lot better. iPhone and iPad, both are free of charge. So there you go. But don't be conned, because there's no account to sign up for. So if you purchase stuff, you won't get it back if you lose it off your iPad or not.
But does that game have the hidden pancake house scenes in it?
You've lost me.
Okay.
There's a couple of sexy looking girls that he gets on top of, but
that might be that outside the pancake house.
Maybe. There we go. IHop. You've lost me.
Okay.
Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. We need to finish up as quickly as we possibly can because Greeny's not here. And they are the people that keep us afloat. We really have come into our own this year because of them. Now we've gone to video and stuff like that. They've really stepped up to the mark. They're coming to Craig, the guy that set it all up. He's coming to the Elmug event. He's coming to have a beer as well. So if you can, when you see him there, please tell him thank you very much for all his support for us, because you know you appreciate him looking after us, I would hope. If you want to support them and support us by virtue of that, please go to our website, scroll yourself down, look for the UK2 logo, click on it, and it'll take you to their page, and they'll know we sent you. Buy whatever you want to buy. You've got a little graphic thing here where you can select what kind of VPS server you want, and then when you check out, use the offer code BAGELTECH, and that'll get you 15% off whatever's in your cart. If you're transferring in a domain, then make sure you use the offer code BAGELDNS as well as, and then the domain management charge, the DNS management charge, will be taken off. So you won't have to pay that at all. And also, here's the best bit, you get to enter a competition. Just below that, you've got a picture that says, win a Nintendo 3DS, and you can win a Nintendo 3DS. So click on there, enter your name, enter your email address. You're probably a customer anyway, so you're not giving them any details I haven't got. And there's an answer to a simple question about the VPS server, and it just wants to know that there's a 2 terabyte drive that's hanging it. And you could win. There you go. It's that simple. Please enter the comp. Please support them, because they really do look after us, and we're lost without them. We're sunk. We're not a free podcast anymore, or we just don't exist. So we need to keep them on board as long as possible, please, if you could. And please keep giving us the reviews. The ones I read out at the start, brilliant. Thank you ever so much. All of video podcasts need review. If you listen to the show, please stop whatever you're doing now. Sign up for an iTunes account and review our podcasts, because it makes an enormous difference to our rankings. And we'll read a few out each week to say thanks on all the shows. Do appreciate it. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video podcast, video tutorials, and also on Twitter as Don McAllister.
And drinking beer at the Wood Pub in Marylebone with me on Tuesday night.
Indeed.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. Should be good.
Yes. Are you bringing Mrs. Don or?
No, I'll be down by myself.
But hey.
Oh, yes.
Wild times. Dr. H, where can we get you, mate?
from next week, you can get hold of me in my new shed.
Arr.
Shedzilla. So, yeah. At Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter, www.drhappymac.co.uk, on the internet and in the Cornhole Market and in the new shed of Destiny.
Really good. I've just got a tweet back from Bagel Tech, Lord Bagel, who's told me that I'm a fake. He's also said that he's got a deal with UK3.net and they're better than UK2 and that they're giving away a free Sega Genesis.
I'm gonna.
You never
him.
See Lord Bagel and Will in the same place at the same time, do you?
No, you never do.
Yeah, you don't.
No, you don't. And Kyle, where can we get you, mate?
You can find me at Twitter's easiest place at Kyle Swagger. Swagger with one G.
Someone's bought Mega Lord Bagel. And they put, no, I'm the real Lord Bagel. Mega Lord Bagel, is that you, Will?
No, no, it's not me at all. No.
Mega Lord Bagel's just tweeted out, I am William. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm lost now. Will, can we get you at Lord Bagel? No?
Give it a go. Or you could try British Mac.
British Mac.
.com.
Are you still doing any shows?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I've been working very hard.
And, not to mention a baby.
Yeah, and yeah. So, in the last, if you're listening to this and you listen to British Mac and you're wondering where I've gone,
If you're listening to this and you're not listening to British Mac because you're wondering where I've gone, you mean?
Yeah, pretty much. I've had a baby. I've had a little daughter, Kitty. She was born last Saturday, and she's lovely. And I've been doing this sort of London work.
Kitty's a great name, mate. I've got to say, I do like that. I used to have an auntie Kitty, and she reckoned she was a medium. The rest of the family reckoned she was a nutter, but.
We're trying to figure out a middle name. And I thought it'd be quite nice to name her after the sort of season that she was born, which is autumn.
Right. Don't call her Letitia.
Well, I was thinking Conker.
Kitty Letitia. Kitty Conker.
Kitty Conker.
What Kitty Conker think? Green. That sounds like a place to go where there's loads of horse chestnuts, doesn't it? Kitty Conker Green and get your horse chestnuts.
Don?
Yeah.
What was that application that you chose this week? And it was on your screencast?
Yoink.
Yoink.
Yeah.
I've been working on a new impression.
It's done.
Okay. You ready?
If you've got to go, Dan, Andrew, go ahead, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Right, see you, mate.
Bye,
Andrew. Go on then, Will.
I've been working very hard on this, and even your own mother wouldn't tell the difference. Ready?
Go
on. Hello, this is Don McAllister. I've got a great app called Yonk. It's a Laura Laura good.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
What do you
think? Sounds more like Cilla Black.
Hey! Hey! On that note, we're going to say goodbye. Thank you very much, because we're 15 minutes late for the photo show already. And we've got a full house this week, a big full house. Sorry to everyone, but we've got to disappear. We'll see you next week. Thanks ever so much for listening.
Bye.
Oh, I've deleted the credits. Where are the frigging credits gone? Oh, bugger.
Lord Bagel stole them.
Lord Bagel.
I love the yellow afro. It's a nice touch.
Someone signed up for Lord Bagel Plus.